Right, so I'm going to do a quick intro of who Emma is, or who I know Emma to be. So I think so we worked together, we were student veterinary nurses together at a big rescue in the UK. So I started in 2003, so you must have been 2004, were you?
Yeah, I don't think I was long after that. So yeah, early 2004, I think.
Yeah. I'm sure you were pretty soon after me. And we worked together, qualified around the same time, and then kept in touch ever since. So I think you worked at a vet practice or so in between. So you were a nurse. And then you kind of got into the little bit of hydrotherapy for a while, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got into training.
Yeah, a little bit.
So you're kind of vet work on the side with dog training, puppy classes, trick training. And didn't you become an instructor for scent training as well? Is that right?
Yeah, did a bit of scent training as well for an obedience group. Took some for them in scent as well. So, yeah.
That's amazing, Emma. Wow. Gosh, that's incredible. Do you have any of your own dogs, pets?
I do, actually. I've got two dogs. I've got any other pets, just two dogs. I've got Cora. She is a 10-year-old Basset Fauve de Bretagne, which is a breed that nobody's ever heard of.
No.
Basically, it's a French hunting breed, scent hound. Wow. She's very houndy in looks and personality, bless her.
Uh-huh.
And then I've got Cookie more recently. She's six now. I can't believe she's six. And I got her at 1 year old, and she's a English Springer Spaniel. Very much working lines. And yeah, she's a good girl. But she's my dog that I've been on a journey with her, put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why we are chatting to you today about anxious dogs, because there are a hell of a lot of them out there. I don't know why. Is it because we expect more from them, do you think? Like they're more like part of the family than they were before? I don't know.
I think that has a massive part to play with it, actually. We expect so much from them and for them to fit into our very human lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult for some dogs, I think.
Yeah, no, it is definitely. But it's just surprising how many you get a litter of pups. A majority of them will probably be of more of a nervous temperament, you know, even if, you know, the breeder does try their best with socialization and things, kind of genetics as well, they kind of just come out like that, and it can be difficult. So
yeah, I think, yeah, like you say, genetics also has a massive part to play in these.
So tell us about Cookie then. Where did you get her from? She's a rescue, isn't she?
Yeah, she came from a rescue centre. She was one when I got her. I'd been on their waiting list for quite a while when I was looking for quite a specific dog. I wanted a dog that I could, you know, get involved with my training with. I really wanted to do agility and things like that. And when they rang and said, oh, they've got a one-year-old spring, I thought. And when I went to meet her, she was a sorry sight, bless her. She was just so frightened. I very quickly realised that our journey would be a very different one than what I previously, you know, had in my mind. So, yeah, she came home with me, and it was quite apparent that she had some real fear and anxious issues, way beyond what, you know, you'd expect a certain amount from a young dog that's just had to go for a change of environment and this sort of thing. But it was way beyond that. It was definitely something going on there.
Yeah. So do you know much of her background? So she was a year when she got into rescue, but do you know where she came from?
I was told she just came from a normal family home. How much of that was true or not, I don't know. She did come into the rescue with another Springer, so they separated them, and she came in the middle of a phantom pregnancy after a season as well. So she was already going through stuff. And then being split up from her sister and then changing home. Maybe that was enough of a trauma event to cause such anxiety. I don't know. But, yeah, I find it hard to believe that her home before was a perfectly normal family.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did you meet the other dog that she came in with? Do you know
what? No, she'd already been rehomed by the time I met Cookie.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Gosh, so you say she's now 6 years old?
6 years old now, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. And gosh, how did it all pan out as you brought her home, and how did that affect her day-to-day routine and yours?
Yeah, so there was definitely a long period of settling in. She spent a lot of those first few months just under the living room table, not wanting to come out and things like that. And her triggers were very much, you know, after seeing a behaviourist, it turned out that it was like a generalised anxiety disorder is what he called it, where she was triggered by anything that was unpredictable to her. So if we walked past a stationary discarded crisp packet on the ground, that would be like, if that crisp packet took to the breeze, then absolutely not. That's become unpredictable now. That's okay in Cookie's world. So yeah, it was anything that, you know, she deemed that could potentially be unpredictable to her would set her off. And in those first months, years even, it was pretty much everything: cars, traffic, buses, rubbish on the ground, blowing in the breeze, you know, anything. Would, if I have a window open at house in the house and it blows the net curtains, anything like that would set her off. And her way of reacting to that would be, she would just completely shut down. So she would just lay on the ground on her side, curl into a ball, and that would be it. There was no from that. So if we was ever out on a walk and a dog ran over, that would be it. She'd lay down on her side, and I would literally have to just scoop her up and carry her home, because her recovery was very, very poor, like, from those situations. But now I would say it's much improved. And her main, she still does have triggers. Her main triggers now are other dogs still, because I think they are just so unpredictable, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
She's fine if we're walking past what looks like a fairly calm dog on a lead. That's cool. But a dog playing off lead with a ball 200 metres in the distance is not okay, because it's unpredictable to her. And people, she can be, she's mostly all right as long as they don't try and interact. If people try and interact with her, she gets a bit like, I'm not sure about where this is going.
How about her, like, recovery time? Does she recover a bit quicker now when she sees things?
Recovery time is amazing now.
Yeah.
If we're over the park and a dog runs up, she'll just go into a little tucked up position, and as soon as the trigger's moved off again, she can just carry on with normal life now. So that's that's been the biggest sort of improvement, has been recovery time for her.
So I remember when you first got home, you were saying that, like, you couldn't do so much. You could, like, taking her out for a walk was like a big deal. You couldn't do a lot of stuff. So what, in those, especially in those early days, what could you do with her instead? Because the walk was maybe not enjoyable for her. What kind of things did you do instead?
So there was lots of days, obviously, we couldn't go for a walk. We would go at, like, crack of dawn if we were going to go, and, you know, couldn't be dark because that would set her off, and things like that. So there was lots of days that we didn't walk. And we'd do things like mainly scent work games, because that's obviously, you know, my background in, I'd done a lot of scent work training with my other dog. So I was like, okay, right, we'll get on this. And it's been such a brilliant outlet for her, I think, in giving her something to do and something that really has promoted her confidence and self and ability to be able to do something, which is actually on her own. You know, okay, it's teamwork to a certain extent, but, you know, I can't smell what she's smelling, so I have to stand back and say, you know, you've got this. It's not, I can't help you here. You know, you're gonna have to go it alone. And so, yeah, scent work has been really beneficial for her.
Do you find, because I know you see sometimes, like, really reactive dogs doing scent work, and then they can be sniffing out something and totally ignore the fact that there's, like, a dog in the background, you know? Can she be that focused when she's doing that?
Yeah, absolutely, and more so now. So it's obviously been a long journey, but now we are at a point where we can rock up at a strange environment indoors, and she will go in and search the building, and she'll walk in, she'll have her towel sort of a bit tucked down. She's a bit like, oh, where are you? What am I doing? But the minute she's given that cue to search, it's like a light switches. She's like, okay, wow. No, towel wagging. I know what I've got to do here, and she can block out what else is going on. It's just fascinating. It's really amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
And she enjoys it.
Yeah. That's what I think a lot of, I find people with dogs, reactive dogs or nervous dogs, it's kind of like they have it in their mind that they've got to do this daily walk. It's like, no, my dog needs this, my dog. Yeah. But even though when the dog's going for that walk, it's especially here, because most here, like, dogs are in their front yard, it's going crazy. So if your dog's dog reactive and you walk it down the road, it's just like dogs shouting at them all the time, all the way. But people are like, no, we have to go do our block and our exercise every evening. And it's like, there's so much more you can do that is an outlet for your dog. They probably would actually.
I do get that. I mean, even I in the beginning felt, you know, I've got to be getting this dog out for a walk. You know, she's a 1-year a spaniel. She needs, you know, to run and have exercise and stuff. I think I had to have a harsh talk to myself that, you know, I can't force it. I can't, you know, it's not fair to be walking along the road with a treat, bit of sausage. Come on, come on, just come further and further out of your comfort zone. It's damaging the relationship, you know. It was, I really had to go, no, we're not doing this. We'll take it at your pace kind of thing. And with that, we did do a lot of, she loves being in the car and the car was very much her safe space.
Okay.
A lot of just driving out to the park, open the boot. I would sit out with my flask of coffee and read a book. Sometimes she'd get out the car and join me, other times she wouldn't, and that was fine. but it was definitely a journey to get her to be able to go out for a walk, and definitely I needed to change my mindset of, you know, we've got to go for a walk. Of course we have.
Because so, and also another thing I want to talk about that I know that you did was free work, because I know when I first got Dolly, and I think she's about 4 months of old, and I got her from rescue, and kind of same thing, I remember taking her on a lead, let's go for a walk, and she stepped outside, and if there was a person, like a gardener, you know, mowing the lawn or someone walking down the street, she dragged me back home. So I never, depending on the day, how busy it was, I maybe would only get a few houses down before she'd like, there's someone there who dragged me back home. And I remember speaking to you and you were like, have you tried free work? So I remember doing that at home with her in the early days, and she really enjoyed it. It used to make her like have a good nap afterwards.
Yeah. So, we had some real positive things with that, even to the extent where I started taking the stuff out with me in the car, and would get to a park and I'd set up a little free work area. For people that don't know, that's kind of being able to have items and objects out for your dog to explore. You can put treats and various scents and textures and things amongst them. And I think for Cookie, it just really helped. My cuckoo clock's going to go. It just really helped to promote that kind of a natural curiosity to explore. I think she was so scared by her environment, she never wanted to explore, and she was very, you know, held back on everything. And it just, I think for her, the biggest thing we got from it was to really encourage that curiosity, you know, go and have a sniff, you know, at your own pace. Nobody's going to force you to tell you what direction you've got to go around these objects in. Just go and have a look. And I think in that respect, that really helped her. And a nice way of observing any kind of behavior patterns, or, you know, things like tense areas and stuff within the body. You know, if you that will only go around everything in kind of a clockwise direction, or maybe only eat the treats that are at kind of head height and not the low ones, it really gives you an idea of perhaps if there's anything else going on that needs addressing. So, yeah, I really got a lot from that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good. Yeah. I used it recently on a 5-month, 6-month old pup who terrified of humans, first time dog owners, and the rescue gave them this dog that had never known humans. I don't know another dog, they never split up from another dog and put in a house with people. The dog was terrified, wouldn't go near anybody. Oh, but that kind of worked quite well for her. She seemed to enjoy it because it was hands off. We were just sitting back watching her, and she would go explore because we were out of the picture, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's hard because I think people, they kind of just have this idea of a dog and what a dog should enjoy.
Yeah.
Cuddles and walks and things, and it's like maybe we have to adjust what we think.
It's a great tool, I think, for giving people something to do with their dog.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you can't take it for a walk, but you can do this. And it's,
yeah.
you know, it gives them something as opposed to sitting back and just thinking, oh, I just don't know what I can do. I can't take it for a walk. I can't give it a pet on the sofa. Like, what am I supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
It's a nice kind of activity to be able to do that doesn't put any pressure on the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Have you ever needed to resort to medications, behaviour modifying medications with Cookie?
Yeah, I have actually. So I was probably had her about 8 months and we really reached a plateau of like, okay, you've gone through your settling in period. I've done what I sort of can, but I'm really, I don't know where to go with this from here. So that's when I seeked out a veterinary behaviourist. So a behaviourist that could, that knows about all the drugs used in behaviour modification and could also prescribe them to us. And we went to see him and he was really good at kind of assessing exactly what was going on and what might help. And we did try her on one drug initially that wasn't a very good fit, turned out. She was on it for about 6 months, but whilst it, I can't remember what he said the drug was supposed to do now. I think it was encourage like to make things that feel good feel extra good, so that reinforcement to really promote. Mm-hmm. Because we was finding that with some of her triggers she's would switch off so much she couldn't take food or anything like that, so counter conditioning was quite difficult. So this, the idea behind it I think was to kind of be able to counter condition things still, because she'll be finding the food more rewarding in those kind of environments. But the kind of side effect, I suppose, of that is she also suddenly discovered that she found hunting really rewarding.
Oh no.
So going from a dog that was literally stuck to me and wouldn't ever go, you know, more than a meter away from me, I gradually started to notice when we went over into the forest, she would start going off a bit further. And at first I was like, yeah, this is really good. Yeah, go and explore. And then it became apparent that it was actually that she was hunting, and it became a bit of an obsession, really. Like, even trying to walk down the road, she was like, where's a cat? I need to find a cat. Like, it became kind of, difficult to manage. So she was weaned off of that, and then we started her on another drug, fluoxetine, and that was good. It really had some positive effects for her. I think as an owner you kind of hope that you're going to start this medication and within a couple of months, wow, it's fixed her.
Yeah,
but it doesn't work like that. What the fluoxetine did do was really help to kind of open the door to be able to then apply behaviour modification.
Yes, yeah.
So it was on the fluoxetine that she really reduced her recovery time from any situations. It just really helped to be able to progress her further through those issues that she was having. It meant that I was less wary, because you can't control what other people are doing in the park. Avoiding it, because I knew that if a dog ran over, she'd shut down, that would be it. We'd go home, it'd take her 2 days to get over it. Right. So knowing that she would bounce back the minute that kind of dog moved off, it allowed me to become more, I guess, relaxed with it, which I think helped her as well. You know, it probably didn't help in those early stages whenever a dog's coming close. I'm like, stop the call your dog. You know, one of those, please call your dog. never helps the situation when you've got an anxious dog. But it really opened the door to be able to progress through the behaviour modification that we were working on. Wasn't a quick fix. She was on probably 2 years. So she's been off fluoxetine now for a year.
Was it an easy transition to get her off? Did you find that it was because she kind of was nice and stable, you were able to get her off?
She reached a level of stability and quick recovery, and she's never going to be a fixed dog. She's always going to have an anxious personality. She still will startle at things, but that is what it is. It's that startle and then I can carry on with my life.
Yes.
Um, But yeah, transitioning her off that, I was worried. I was thinking, you know, I just don't know how this is going to go. But actually, touch wood, she was fine the whole way through it. And I didn't really see any regression. You know, perhaps we would take a couple of steps back, but she managed to maintain that. So it was good.
Obviously, with a lot of pet owners, as it was for human medication a while ago, sometimes a bit now, it's that always that stigma. And when someone suggests baby meds, like a lot of dog owners are like, what? No, it's like, don't even want to have that conversation. But actually, it's maybe a worthwhile avenue to think of adding to.
I think so. And you know, I felt a bit like that as well. Is that fair to medicate my dog? You know, she's got no choice in it. Like, but when you look at quality of life and living with such a severe anxiety to, okay, we can work through this and make things a bit easier for you. I don't necessarily think that just medicating her and that would be it would be a good idea, but medicating to help you then work through a behaviour program, you know, I don't see necessarily what the issue is in that, although we did get some stigma. You know, whenever I mentioned it to some people, I go to a lot of training workshops and things like that, and I say, oh yeah, she's on fluoxetine, and I wouldn't have a problem with it because I knew what was working for my dog. But sometimes there would be people that would think, oh really, you medicate your dog, you know. But
yeah,
again, like mental health stigma in people, it's not very well understood, I don't think. And once you've been through it with a dog and, you know, chatted through with your vet or vet behaviourist about exactly what these drugs are intending to do, then that's a decision that you can then make.
Right, well, you've done amazing. So words of advice then, someone who has an anxious dog, because sometimes I'll call you in for, say, if I get a call, a bit of advice, and it's, I think the biggest thing is people don't realise how long it's going to take, because you're basically trying to change the way your dog thinks and processes everything. So they kind of want a quick session and a quick fix on how do I teach a behaviour to stop my dog being so worried. And it's, so what words of advice could you give for those people for the long road that they've got ahead of them?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, that people have to be aware that it's a long slog, you know, and it's sometimes you feel like you take 3 steps forward and then 10 steps back in the other direction, and it can be quite disheartening at times because we all just want the best for our dogs, right? And it's just feel like sometimes that even all this effort you're putting in and you're still just not getting anywhere. But so my advice would be to just persevere, go slowly, don't rush, because when you start rushing is that's when you kind of have your hiccups and you go back a bit. And I've been there, I've done it, I thought, you know, oh, I'm sure she's ready to do this now, and we try it and she's absolutely not ready, and then it knocks us back a few steps and stuff. So definitely don't rush the process. Know you're in it for a bit of a ride. Get a good support network around you. So, you know, if you bring a puppy home and you think, oh, this is anxious and I think it's beyond what normal, get help involved. Seek a behaviourist, seek a trainer, speak to your vet. Is there anything else going on that might be causing it? And get that support network, because they're the people that you'll be crying to on the phone going, oh, it's all gone wrong. And that you'll need to remind you how far you've come. And there's lots of, like, one thing that I've found really helpful is there's lots of support out there on Facebook and places like this, pages of other owners that are going through the same stuff, or people blogging about their own dog's journey. And I found that really helpful to see. My only caveat, I think, would be to that is, don't take advice necessarily online. Every decent bit of advice you get, you're probably going to get about 20 not so decent bit of advice that could actually do more harm than good.
So
don't necessarily take advice offline, but use the support of other people going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And other than that, get involved with scent work, because that's my passion. And that's, yes. I really feel that that has been such a vital part of Cookie's rehabilitation. And play as well. Like,
yeah,
play is really powerful, especially with anxious and nervous dogs, especially if you've got, you know, their home is their safe place, or but they're relaxed enough to play. Really develop that play and see if you can take it on the road, because once you start being able to play out in different environments, that's really kind of, again, opened up a whole nother emotion when we go somewhere. Like, this can be fun.
Yeah.
Not always got to be scary and out of my comfort zone. We can just go somewhere and it be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's always going to be setbacks, like
always.
You know, it's life. Sometimes, even now, we're over the park and a group of dogs will run up and bundle her, and I just think, oh, now we've gone back. You know, we're just back. But that is life, and you just have to kind of get on. Or, you know, if they're ill and you've got to take them to the vets and they don't particularly formal handling, you just have to think, you know, hopefully I've got enough, you know, credits in my trust account to kind of be able to build this back up quite quickly afterwards. It is a long journey, and don't beat yourself up over it when you do have rubbish days, because it happens.
Yeah, it does.
What was I doing the other day? Oh, I took all the... We've got net curtains and curtains in the house. I took them down for cleaning. I didn't think it would be an issue, but Cookie was in the room. And whilst all the curtains were down, she just couldn't cope with being in the house. I was like,
gosh,
so bizarre. So because we didn't have any curtains up, she couldn't come indoors. This is the weirdest thing, but you just have to take the rough with the smooth, don't you? You quickly wash the curtains and get them back up and never see them again.
Good excuse.
Yeah, good excuse. Can't possibly clean the curtains because it's...
No. No, you've been amazing. I think as well, people need to celebrate the small wins, I think.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, especially if they're not working with a trainer or something, maybe they can't see how they progress. So I was helping a lady, she had a pit bull come from a bad situation. And one of them, she's very underconfident, and she's got to about kind of 6 months of age and then started to become reactive. And so obviously another dog walks past and there's this huge eruption, and so she's obviously stressed out about it. So it's maybe like, so after a week, I was like, look how far, because I was using my dog to help. I was like, look how close we got this week, you know. Look, that's a distance in like 1 week. So the work you've been doing whilst I haven't been here in a week, like, we've moved forward a lot, you know. So it's kind of like those small measurements. And then I went on a walk with her the other day, and the dog startled at a dustbin. It was, I don't know, I think she was looking on the ground and then she saw the dustbin and jumped, but then she just carried on. And I was like, do you see that? That's the kind of thing you need to look at and realise how far you are coming.
Yeah. I think people visualise the end goal, don't they?
Yes.
And how far? I'm so far from the end goal.
Yes.
I had pictured that, you know, you actually forget to look back on actually how far you've come as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
How far you've got to go, you've come far as well.
Yeah. But also know that maybe that dog is not going to be the dog that you take to the dog park. Or to the cafe, if people react, if you're not going to take it to the cafe on a Sunday afternoon and expect the dog, you know, that's maybe you're never going to get
managing there. Your own expectations.
Yeah. Because some people are like, maybe especially if they get like a smaller dog, they want to kind of take it everywhere. Maybe your dog doesn't want to go everywhere.
Yeah.
Big mindset. Mindset adjustment, yeah.
And we all have to do it. I did, you know, And there was part of me, because of my background, you know, I've been around dogs, working around dogs for a large part of my career, getting involved with dog training dogs myself, you know, initially I thought, you know, I'll be able to fix it, be fine. And it's actually changing that, you know, no, I needed help along the way and that's okay. And she needed medical support and, you know, to get her through things, and that's fine. You know, it's every different journey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Emma.
No problem.
Yeah, because I know how much you've done for her. That's why I wanted to speak to you. I know you've been amazing. You've done loads for her. And I'm sure most people that see you walking down the road with her can't tell that, you know, she has all these issues. She just looks like a happy spaniel wagging her tail. So now you're amazing. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. That's really, really interesting. I enjoyed listening to the process, you know, that you and Cookie and this journey that you've been on. Incredibly impressed with how far you've come. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Still on it, still got years.
Yes.
Still heading for that end goal. But enjoying it now. It's at a point where I don't feel so sad for her that she's feeling, you know, she's enjoying life, which is the most important thing, isn't it?